on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up.
Fed
got
up.
Our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. My name is Mark Kent, and I'm your host. We'd like to thank our sponsor, you people out there. Our number here is 530-605-4567. It's August 23rd, 2013, and you're listening to 1460 KCNR Free Fire Radio. I'm in the studio here with my sister, Linda.
Good morning.
Bob Martin, our trusted soundboard operator and all-around great guy.
Good morning, Mark.
Savannah's not here.
Our gal is not here this morning.
Yes. Yeah, oh. She's out gallivanting around. Getting
another wedding, I would imagine.
She's doing the circuit.
No, she and I actually kind of traded shifts this weekend. I'm away tomorrow.
Oh, okay, so she's back on. She's going to be on We the People then.
Actually, we pre-recorded We the People.
Oh, never mind.
Okay, let's move right along.
We also have a special.
Now she will be in later this morning.
Okay, great. We also have a special guest with us in the studio, Dwayne. I'm going to just leave it at that.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning,
Dwayne.
We'll
explain some more after we do the news. What's happening here? We are streaming worldwide. KCNR1460.com, or you can call in again at 530-605-4567. All our shows are podcast and archived as well, so you can always go into the KCNR website and listen to the show if you missed it. You can friend me on Facebook as well, Mark E. Kent, and I post a lot of good stuff on there. I'm going to do my first quote, and then we'll go to veterans events.
All right.
This first quote is, "We are in danger of being overwhelmed with irredeemable paper. Mere paper representing not gold nor silver, no sir, representing nothing but broken promises, bad faith, bankrupt corporation, cheated creditors, and a ruined people." Now, that was Daniel Webster, senator, secretary of state, a notable orator, leading constitutional lawyer. That was in a speech in the Senate in 1833.
Wow.
So that kind of hits it. Anyway.
Yeah, it kind of sums everything up right there.
And you're on.
All right. For veterans events coming up, we have the Shasta County Cook-Off. That is with Missing in America Project. We'll get it here. At Shasta District Fairgrounds on September 28th. That's from 12 to 7 p.m. Admission for that is $10. If you're interested or want more information, call 530-215-0987. Also remember, coming up in October on the 25th, we'll have the grand opening for the Veterans Home. And then one of the last ones I have is the MASH Bash coming. That's going to be September 28th from 5:30 to 11 p.m. at the Reading Airport. Admission price is $35 at the door. The barbecue will be put on by Famous Dave's this year. So go out and show your support. If you need more information or to get tickets, call 530-378-2280. Also, the tickets for that's available at Jones Fort.
Jones Fort. All right.
There we go.
Patrick Jones over there. He's a great guy, and we want to have him in here again, and we can talk some more stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have one article that I'd like to read here. And this is comes from the Australian News. Fukushima radiation leak, a serious incident. Now, we haven't heard too much about this in our mainstream media that doesn't report the news. They deceive, we believe type thing. Japan's nuclear regulator has upgraded a radioactive water leak at the crippled Fukushima plant to a level 3 serious incident, its highest warning in 2 years as the operator scrambled to contain the impact on the environment. You know, I'm also hearing that, you know, they tested tuna coming out of the Pacific, and every single one of them was contaminated with radiation.
Nice.
So this is something that, you know, they've been kind of covering up here a little bit, but this is a real problem. I'd be very careful about eating the sushi out there, guys, and where your fish is coming in from the Pacific, because that seems to have spread that radiation throughout the Pacific, and, you know, you might want to do a little homework on there before you just start eating seafood. So I thought that was something that is very important and we need to know about out there, because, you know, it doesn't seem like we're being told a lot of stuff on the media here.
Well, and in reference with that is, you know, that seems to be a problem here in the North State with fresh fish also, with all the spraying.
The geo engineering, and, I mean, it's just kind of crazy out there.
The levels are getting really high.
I'm looking for an article here. I'm not.
Well, while you do that, I need to remind people about the Global March tomorrow.
Oh. Very good.
At City Hall from 11 to 1, so we want to get that out to the people, so just come down there, and I guess there's going to be some speakers down there and a lot of good stuff, so come out to the rally with us.
Absolutely. You know, that's going to be talking about the geoengineering that doesn't exist, that nobody wants to talk about, that really exists and is all over the place. And watching
one
it at my house
subjects.
Last night. Yeah, you know, it's unbelievable, you know, the amount of cover-up that's going on with that. I mean, anybody with common sense can walk outside and see, you know, there's a problem there. Something's going on. I mean, last night I took pictures from my porch. And I'm watching two planes go by that are spraying this stuff out above my house. And then in the middle is another plane with no trail coming out at all. So to say that the one is a, you know, a contrail and the other ones are, you know, it's like, really?
That's just your imagination. Yeah. So don't forget, that's tomorrow, Sunday, at the City Hall from 11 to 1. There's going to be speakers and great information. They have some pilots down there that will be discussing different stuff about geoengineering.
On the gold and silver precious metals front, it looks like we're turning the corner. Head and shoulders formation is starting to form, going back up. This could be the big run-up that we've all been waiting for. J.P. Morgan, they're talking to Scotia Macata, asking, hey, we need more gold. Everybody's talking about a big problem coming here on the market, so be aware. Right now is the time to be stacking and storing still. It hasn't gotten over yet. This is all just a big contrivance, the economy. Okay, I found the story here. NSA paid Google, Facebook millions to spy on taxpayers.
I saw that this morning.
It's like, so top secret files show first evidence of a financial relationship. Prism companies, including Google, Yahoo, says the NSA, costs were incurred, you know, after the 2011 FISA court ruling. So what that's telling you basically is they're spying on everybody indiscriminately. And, it is a problem. Problem, and it's not a phony deal.
You sure about that? No phoniness there, huh?
I know. Everything's a phony deal.
Yeah.
So
if you get paid, you get to lie. Is that it? Because they said that that was not happening, Facebook and Google and all that.
There you go. The other one I have here is this comes from Vice, and this is at vice.com. And a confidential memo at the heart of the global financial crisis. This was leaked. Showing Tim Geithner and Larry Summers basically telling us about the end game on what they were doing with the World Trade Organization. And so we're talking about putting Larry Summers back in charge of the Fed.
You can't make this up.
These guys are basically, if you look at this document, these guys are basically planning their, you know, when they got rid of the Glass-Steagall Act, they're planning to get the banks into the investment community and basically blackmail countries the world over into using their derivatives, whether they like it or not. And you look at the players, you got John Corzine, you know, Merrill Lynch guy, David Kaminsky, Bank America, David Coulter, Citibank, John Reed, Chase Manhattan, Walter Shipley, all these same players. And I highly recommend that if you get a chance to go in and read this, and they, it basically maps out, you know, the conspiracy to enrich these private banking institutions through a derivatives scam worldwide. Could it be happening even now?
No. <laughs> Oh boy.
Okay. So with that, I think we could probably go to a break and then we'll come back with our guest and we're going to be talking about the education system with Wayne.
All right. This is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
I know you deceived me. Now here's a surprise. I know that you have, cause there's magic in my eyes. I can see for miles and miles and miles and miles and miles.
Oh yeah.
If you think that I don't know about the little tricks you play,
if you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank. Professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
From Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s speech, I Have a Dream, delivered on August 28, 1963. Now is the time to open the doors of opportunity to all of God's children. Now is the time to lift our nation from the quicksands of racial injustice to the solid rock of brotherhood. I am Miriam Kalmogo, Reading resident.
You're probably wondering, where do I go? I'm out of coffee. Well, let me tell you, Tobacco and Brew, guaranteed to provide you with the freshest coffee beans. With the rising cost of coffee, Tobacco and Brew offers the best prices, quality, and a large variety as well. Check it out. Go in and meet the friendly staff who will help you with selection and specification of your brewing needs. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we explore how technology continues to impact our daily lives. Join us, Bob and Brenda Belongi, every Saturday from noon to one to learn about the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, along with the breaking news that affects your day-to-day digital life. Boomer Tech Radio, brought to you by Advanced Automotive, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. That's Boomer Tech Radio, now noon to one on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Crank that up, Rob. I don't care. Very good, very good. Yeah, I love that song. That's The Who, just in case you're wondering. The what? No, The Who.
Who?
Eh, boy. Okay, so we're here in the studio with my guest, my friend, entrepreneur, student. We've had a lot of conversations in my office that seem to, you know, it's one of those, when we start talking, it's, we have conversations like it's shut the door, so we're going to be here for a couple hours. But my friend Dwayne has been a friend and a client for, I don't know, it's been quite a few years now.
Yes, absolutely. I think since, what, 2006?
Yeah, like absolutely. And,
or, no. 2004, 2005.
Maybe 2004.
Like
it's like almost 10 years.
Yeah.
So we've had numerous conversations. One of our big conversations has been about the school system.
Yep.
And, you know, when we first started talking, we disagreed on a lot of stuff, you know, because I was always saying, oh, they're indoctrinating everybody into Marxism. And, right. And, you know, we would argue about that to a degree. And then as the time came, as time went by,
right.
You started agreeing with me a little more on this. So with that, there's the setup.
Right. Well, that was because I always hated thinking that someone, I was being indoctrinated. You know, you always want to resist that type of idea that your professors are leading you to believe a certain philosophy rather than another. But as I continued through school, I recognized that I was taking classes that whether they were in sociology or philosophy or political science, you know, international relations and all these different classes, or even, you know, moral philosophy, like different things like that. And I recognized that we discuss Marx more than any other political philosopher.
Drives me crazy.
Economic philosopher more than anything. And I just recognized I know his philosophy basically span across intellectual disciplines, you know.
Sure.
So you're gonna talk about sociology and all these different things. But you have to ask yourself specific questions, why aren't you talking about Adam Smith? He contributed to moral philosophy. Why aren't you talking about Adam Smith when it comes to social political issues, because he also, contributed in that area as well. And that's what really was troubling to me, is that I recognized that there wasn't another aspect that was being presented. And if it was presented, it wasn't presented in such a way that it was strong.
Right.
They presented Marxism or socialist philosophy or communist philosophy in a strong way.
In a good light, whereas anything opposed to that in a bad light.
Exactly. And that's why we started to agree, is because I started recognizing, wait a minute, I'm being fed this philosophy, and in no sense when I finish the course in any particular thing, like I said, sociology, political science, philosophy, any of those disciplines, economics, I never felt that I had some type of foundation to level of criticism against Marxism.
Right.
And it was devastating to me. And that's when I started thinking about what you and I discussed
in
your office. And I'm like, wait a minute.
Because I'm way off the chart the other way. You know, I recognize that there's no perfect system.
Right.
Okay. But I want the truth. I want a truth of what is the economic system. And, you know, the watershed moment always for me is, gee, why are we counterfeiting money from a private banking institution and lending it to the government? And that's right out of Marxist doctrine. People don't realize that a central bank is a tenet of the 10 platforms of the Communist Manifesto. And that is the platform that gives the power to everything else. And that's why we've had these big discussions, is that, you know, the school system has an agenda that's not necessarily truthful.
Right. Well, in that sense, and I need to make it clear too, that I'm not in this sense giving a descriptive account of all the universities across America.
Right.
But what I will say is that in the conversations that I've had with multiple students, and also in books that I've also read with individuals who have attended other universities, they say the same thing. I mean, you can read William Buckley's book called God and Man at Yale, and he levels the same type of criticism against the school system that we're talking about today. Like, why are we promoting socialistic policies and all these different things, and we're leaving God out of discussions in the classroom and all these different things? Like, why are we doing this type of stuff, and we're not actually giving stronger emphasis and stronger arguments for a free capitalistic society?
Well, that's why I believe that they don't, is because the indoctrination leads you towards big centralized government. And, you know, the end result is there's always a little clique of people that are in control of everything. I believe it's the banking industry in conjunction with the government. And they use this as the carrot and the stick to give everybody this idealism and this belief that they're gonna, right the evil in the world through this economic system. And it's exactly the opposite. It always ends up, you know, with less goods and services. Everybody's poor and, we have the, centralized government controlling everyone and everything.
Right.
And that's where it leads. And that's why I think that this is why it's implemented in policy, because the higher ups in the education system, when we started shoveling the education system over to Washington, mm-hmm. they started running the curriculum at the local levels.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, it's hard to think this ain't some kind of a, you know, plan, a planned, you know, whatever, you know, scheme, if you will, mm-hmm. to get people to think that their answer to their problems is bigger government and more centralized control.
Right. Well, I'm not going to say it's a plan.
Not gonna go that far.
Right.
I'm trying to reel you in here, Dwayne.
Yes, you are. But what I will say is, like, there's certain aspects, like psychology is teaching people, like, that in our mind, we have like two agents is what they refer to it as. One is our intuitive agent, which is, it allows us to make decisions really fast, right? Mm-hmm. So what you see is all there is. So you make decisions based off of limited information, and we typically have this part of our brain because evolution has basically created it that way so that we can make decisions to get ourselves out of danger faster.
Right. Okay.
Then we also have the critical aspect of our minds. And what that does is it allows us
to
think about things. Exactly.
Yeah, to
think
reason.
About things, you know, in a reasonable way. And what we found, or what psychologists have found, is that people typically use their system one, which is the one that makes decisions faster. And what that does is it allows you to be manipulated. Right. It allows you to not think critically about
other. Well, it's an emotional side typically, too.
Exactly. That's a part of system one.
Yeah.
Which is what the psychologists are talking about. It's a part of system one, which is what we typically do. We rely on those things, and we allow people to appeal to our emotions. So when you hear professors in the classrooms and they talk about Marxism, and usually they level a criticism against the capitalistic society and the ones that own capital.
Right.
They're pointing the finger at them, and they typically look at the broke college student, and he's starting or she is starting to agree, like, wait a minute, yes,
yeah,
I'm in this terrible situation, yeah, and I'm broke, and I'm starting to not, you're not using the system two, which is the critical aspect. You're just allowing yourself to be influenced by the professors, and that seems to me to be the troubling part.
Well, I think there's a problem and a truth there too. You know, in Marxism, you know, they don't reveal a lot of this stuff to you. They use your emotions and so forth. On the super capitalism side, what you have to understand too is that if you've got people that are counterfeiting money and pouring it into the government and the system, those guys are not capitalists. Those are crony capitalists who are manipulating and stealing basically the system. Capitalism and free market tenets are when people actually work for a living and produce goods and services at a cheaper rate for more people. You know, Henry Ford's a great example. I mean, look what he did to the car. I mean, he upped every great, you know, everybody's standard of living got better. That's true capitalism. The idea that someone else didn't earn it is what's being perpetrated here. That you didn't earn what you have. That house that you are living in is not yours. You stole that somehow, as opposed to somebody who worked their whole life to get to that point. And the idea that you could redistribute that, well, I get it. If you want to go after the crony capitalisms and make a fair playing field, start with the monetary system. Let's talk about that.
Right.
But to go after the people that have earned their living with the sweat of their brow and to take it from them, what you end up with is, you're not careful, this idea of redistribution is, if I can redistribute it from you to me, I can redistribute it you to him or her to you. What you end up with is, who's ever doing the redistribution controls everyone and everything.
Yep. Right.
That's what they don't tell you.
Right. Well, in one sense, I'm going to go back to psychology in this way. There's a field that's developing right now called behavioral economics. And it's what's happened is it's allowed psychologists to come into the field of economics, and they've actually leveled criticisms against supply and demand in the free market capitalist society. And what people don't understand is that if what they're saying is true, which is one of the things that they attack is supply and demand, they call it supply and demand is actually a fallacy. Because what they believe is, again, if we have the system one, which can be manipulated, then they agree that people can be influenced, markets can be influenced, markets can be manipulated. And then in that sense, they start, you know, putting in who should dictate society, who should control the political economy.
Funny, that always comes back to that, doesn't it?
Right. And so you start asking yourself these questions, like who should control political economy? Should it be the government? And in that sense, their answer, at least some of them, is yes, the government should be in the position to dictate the political economy, not free market. And these are the type of implications that I'm saying that they have sweeping implications, like not just for the political economy. They have the social and political aspects. And these are the things that people need to start paying attention to, because you can sit back and all of a sudden your government is no longer free. It's not operating in a free capitalist
society. It's
really
not your government anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. So you're looking at the situation. You're saying, wait a minute. If I'm being manipulated and I'm saying, here, I'm going to give the government the control to say and dictate what we can do and what businesses we can start up and all these different things, then what happens to the free market?
It collapses.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's what they don't tell you, is that all of a sudden, all these iPhones and iPods and food and all these things, you know, you end up with, if you want to look at what a centralized total dictatorship is, and that's what you end up with. What that does is that attracts those type of people into power, because, you know, a good man doesn't want to rule over everybody else.
Yeah.
But a guy who was, you know, wants to be in charge of everything and everyone and thinks he's smarter than everybody, that's the kind of guy that's going to try to get into the position of power.
Right.
And you end up with, okay, they're usually not smarter than everybody or the free market, but being in power, you know, they're dictating things, like, you know, Kim Jong-un, in North Korea.
Yeah.
Look at that's the you know, totally, you know, completely going into a Marxist system. That's where you end up. You know, the idea that everybody's going to be working together sounds all good, but you got to get the power to the individuals to do that, to have incentive to work harder. Otherwise, what happens is production just completely tanks. And that's what we're seeing in America right now.
Right. One of the, and you're alluding to it, like one of the most incredible things about a capitalistic society is that it allows for talent to shine.
Exactly.
Right? So you have a situation in which if I'm going to move up into society, I'm going to move up because of my talent.
Right.
Okay. If I'm going to fall in society, I'm going to fall because my talents have taken me so far, but that's as high as I can get.
Right.
But in a socialistic communistic society, it's who you know. It's I'm going to align myself with these intellectuals. And so if you are put in this position, then only a few dictating exactly who can move up into a society. And that's not a society that I think that a lot of people should want to live in.
I wouldn't think so, because what happens is sooner or later, you're not going to have any, you're not going to have a life, basically.
Yeah.
You're going to be a bunch of drones running around doing what you're told.
Or be dead.
I think we got to go to a break here.
All right. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate. Brought to you by Jeterbilt Construction, Megastar Mortgage, Trinity Pest Control, and Sheldon Largent Realty.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the boss on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar.
Join me, Paul Preston, Monday through Fridays from 10 a.m. to noon for Agenda 21 Radio, right here on KCNR 1460 AM. And visit our website at agenda21radio.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Granberry from Redding Electric Utility. REU strives to offer a variety of assistance programs to our eligible customers. Are you aware of the many programs that REU offers to help our lower-income customers? Programs such as REU's Lifeline Rate Discount Program, which helps income-qualified seniors or households with a disabled family member living in the home. Also, REU's new Lifeline Plus Program for extremely low-income customers who qualify for assistance. Or the CARES program, which provides a one-time emergency financial assistance to help income-qualified REU customers. Another valuable program funded through customer donations is the REU Share program, or simply helping another receive energy. This program is designed to assist fixed-income seniors pay their energy bills. Please contact REU to see if you or a family member qualifies for any of our assistance programs. For more information, call REU at 339-7200 or visit us at reupower.com. Redding Electric Utility, REU, we're here for you.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
About yeah, we're having a pretty good time over here.
Yeah, I want to mention the tea party on Monday. We're going to have Mark Baird. He's from Siskiyou County, what he's been doing up there with regards to the state of Jefferson. Get involved in that because, gosh darn, if they figure out a way to make Siskiyou County the state of Jefferson, I'm moving.
There you go. So remember, that's Monday night at 6 p.m. at 2570 South Bonnyview Road at the Destiny Fellowship.
Also, We the People Radio tomorrow, 8 to 10 p.m. Do you know who we got on tomorrow there, Bob?
That's 8 to 10 a.m.
I'm sorry. That's in the morning, not at night. Never mind.
We have an encore. We're catching up with I made it sound like it was a replay. No, it's a brand-new show. We pre-recorded it, but it's a brand new show with Jimmy and Joanne Moriarty, the American business people who got out of Libya just barely, and they have additional information about what's happening in the Middle East. And at one point in the beginning of the show, we actually speak to a tribal elder from Libya who was currently exiled in Egypt. So quite a fascinating show.
Wow, the Middle East, what a mess right now. Holy crap.
Yeah, let's not get started there. Let's get back to the school system with Dwayne.
Okay. We're withholding Dwayne's information pending.
For many reasons.
Yeah, graduation.
But we kind of wanted to get back to the classroom situation about how it affects your grades or how people take you if you have a different viewpoint in the classroom with the professors and stuff. Can you kind of?
Well, I will say this is that, like I said, I'm not giving a descriptive account of what's happening across America. So please, listeners, make sure that you take that.
Disclaimer.
Right. But what I will
do
say
your
is,
investigation.
But it is happening locally.
Right. We know that. We know that.
Yeah.
But what I will say is that we could take a class like history and say that we're talking about Marxism or socialism, and we're getting into these aspects of history, you know, and the professor starts talking about Marxism and what he's done and all this other stuff and how he inspired people like Eugene Debs when he was in prison, the socialists, and, you know, and all these different things. And then you try to level a criticism against Marxism.
Right.
Then the first thing that happens typically is the professors usually look at you and they kind of, you know, say to you, hey, you're pretty much not intellectually ready to level a criticism against Marxism.
So you're not smart enough is what basically he's saying.
Exactly. Yeah. And then in some areas, like if you, you know, I was just talking about history there, but if you're talking about social political philosophy or you go into moral philosophy or any of these other classes or economics or anything like that, typically what happens is that you'll have the professor that'll level another criticism towards you. And usually it has something to do with you're not caring enough for your fellow man. So you take somebody like Eugene Debs and they say, look at what he did. He fought for the people. You know, he fought for the poor man. He did all these different things. And now you're looked at as the bad guy. And so the criticism that you want to level against Marxism or socialism or any of those different aspects, you can't, and you feel challenged because one, you recognize that the professors, they're highly educated. They have more, they've been exposed to more. Exactly. But they've been placed in a position where they've been exposed to more research, and you actually start thinking like, wait a minute, maybe my intellectual discourse is actually not up to par. Maybe they are correct when they say that. And so you actually feel defeated in a sense. And that's some of the things in which I've experienced myself.
Yeah, you know, it's like me, I guess I'd get F's because I'd be talking about the founding fathers and how they freed everybody for the first time in the history of the world. You know, they created a document where all men were created equal. How do you improve upon that? Mm-hmm. Given their rights by their creator so nobody could take them away. You know,
that's funny because you like what at least I'm recognizing is that they're taking at least again the classrooms in which I have the privilege of sitting in and attending. they're taking the aspect of God outside of the classroom. So you're not like if you were in psychology or you're in sociology. You're not talking about the aspects of good and evil or the devil, you know, and God and all this other stuff. They tell you to leave that at the door.
Right.
So whether you're dealing with history or psychology or sociology or philosophy or mathematics or any of these different disciplines or science, you're told immediately to leave your religion at the door. That's why when you hear people say something like, but what about the founding fathers that says something like God, you know, like has given our rights and all these different things? Well, what happens when these students are walking around and they've taking God out of their specific important aspect of their life.
Well, you know, the big thing there, whether you're religious or not, and this is what they won't tell you and they gloss over, is that if you look at the Marxist states or the socialist states, even the civil rights are all given to you by your government. If the government giveth, the government can taketh away. That's the beauty of the it's not inalienable. It drives me crazy when people say inalienable. It's unalienable, which means your rights can't even be given away by yourself, but they come from God. And it's not a religious thing as much as it is who can take them away from you. If God's the only one that can take your rights away, then your rights can't be taken away is the idea of that, as opposed to if the government right now gives you whatever right you have, well, they just make another law and say you don't have that right anymore.
Well,
right.
Yeah, and if the students or the young people don't know that's there.
Right.
They're going to go along with the government's point of view. Yeah. Because they don't know any better. They don't have that information to know what is theirs.
Yeah.
And who has the power.
Well, that was the whole thing with the founding fathers is they wanted to create a free society. Now, was it perfect? No, they had slaves. There was a bunch of stuff going on back then. But the founding document created was to free everyone, all men, for all time. Now, it took a little bit of time for that to occur because it's like saying, oh, you're all free, you know, and you're back in the feudal age with kings running the show. Well, you know, you might run a document by that says all of our rights are given to us from God and we're all free, but it might take a little time for that to take hold. And that's what the point is that they're missing,
right,
is that it took time for that document to get implemented to the point where everybody was enjoying that. But you couldn't say that, hey, I'm entitled to these rights unless you said that all men were created equal,
right,
and all of our rights are from God. That's the whole point of that. And that's what just drives me crazy, because then what they're saying is everybody's rights comes from government.
Right.
Or the state. And then that in itself is a religion. Right. Statism is a religion. If you believe that everything, all your allegiance, and everything you owe and all your rights come from the state, if you're not careful, then you end up in North Korea. Because what in, you know, if a great documentary to watch, I highly recommend, is everybody watch Kim Jong-il. And it talks about Kim Jong-il, who was worshipped as God in North Korea.
Right.
They, you know, they're on their hands and knees, you know. Why? Because he was the, you know, that's where, when you consolidate everything into that one, place, if you're not careful, you talk about a slave society. That's across the board. Right. Everybody's a slave.
Right.
Yeah. I hate to use that word, but obviously, you know.
I mean, one thing I want to make clear too is that I mean, this is a great country.
Right.
It allows us to express our ideas, our philosophy, and different things like that. And I love this country. But one of the things that, one of the reasons why I love this country so much is because we can level criticism against the government.
Right.
You know, without feeling like, all of a sudden the social media will be shut down and bad things will be happening in America, like what happened in North Korea when, Kim Jong-il died and Kim Jong-un felt that the majority of the population wasn't respecting his father's death as he wanted. What happened? They shut down all these different things, and different things were happening behind closed doors. America tried to get, you know, put pressure on them to open up their social networking sites again. But again, you start thinking about different things like that, and you have to really appreciate being in America, that we're able to do things like this.
Well, and to have freedom at the individual. See, that's really is to break up that power and give each individual person the right over their own lives.
Right.
That's really what it comes down to. And that's the dynamic that the founding fathers gave us. We're trying to give it back.
Right.
That's what's happening right now. We're not even trying to give it back. We're saying, you know, we're being educated to believe that the benevolent government is going to take care of us instead of us being, you know, having our own best interest in mind. Who's got your interest in mind better? You or some guy up in an office in Washington?
Well, and that's one of the criticisms that needs to be leveled against Marxist, you know, period, people who perpetuate the Marxian doctrine, is that if you understand Marx, he used Hegel, which in Hegel's philosophy and phenomenology of spirit, what he said was, is that he came to this idea of the cunning reason, you know, which was the idea that it doesn't matter your intentions, because you can intend for something to happen, but a totally different outcome
will take place. Yeah, absolutely.
And so someone who's a Marxist, if they actually really were into his philosophy, they couldn't say that the government has your best interest at heart, because even if the government intended to do something according to Marxism, which uses Hegelian philosophy as a foundation, uses the cunning of reason, and recognizes that the end result is not necessarily what you are going to intend.
Well, because the idea is that, from a Marxist standpoint, the idea is not to consolidate all the power in the government, but everybody's working, it's for the people. But the problem is somebody has to be in charge.
Right.
And if you get God out of the picture, then you have to put someone in charge. And what that does is starts consolidating more and more and more power in the hands of a few.
I agree that in some sense that we are becoming more of a secular society, you know, and I think that, at least this is my opinion, that we're doing so because the intellectual community is actually relying more on reason and discourse instead of saying, okay, these are the fundamental principles in which we have been given from God.
Right.
You know, they're like, no, let's start from reason. Reason will dictate exactly what it is, in fact, that we can say and what we should be able to,
say
logically.
Do you know what
that's the problem.
We got to go to a break, but let's come back on that. I want to talk about that a little more.
All right. The number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
East of Omaha, you can listen to the engine moaning out his one note song. You can think about the woman or the girl you knew the night before.
Three little words that will change your life forever. You have cancer. You also have choices. At Pace Cancer Center, we believe that the battle against cancer can be fought with a positive attitude, care, and excellent medicine. Dr. Pramila Dhanuka is a board-certified oncologist, and she is offering the highest level of care for cancer patients for over 10 years. At Pace, you'll discover why hundreds of local cancer survivors have chosen Pace Cancer Center for treatment. To learn more about your choices available at Pace Cancer Center, call 247-1425.
This is Mark Story, CEO of Haven Humane Society. The heat is upon us, and I wanted to remind everyone of how hot it can get in a car or the back of a pickup for our pets. If you see any unattended animals in cars in the heat, please call Haven Humane Animal Regulations at 241-2550 so we can help.
While serving in Iraq, Sergeant Jason Nielsen suffered a paralyzing injury. Paralyzed Veterans of America's service officers are trained to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned. To help paralyzed veterans, visit pva.org.
Veterans of all eras in need of employment. Reading Veterans Resource Center has job development services for all veterans in need of employment. Need help finding a job, preparing a resume, helping with interview skills, or filling out an application? Call Reading Veterans Resource Center at 223-3211 or stop by at 280 Hempstead Drive in Reading. Again, all veterans in need of employment, call 223-3211.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, we have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night in the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation with clean, comfortable cabs. Give us a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
I don't think we're going to get the wow in that one. I didn't cue it up, Bob.
Oh, man, we didn't get the wow.
We'll have to cue that up the next time.
Thinking of the short version from CSI Miami.
Yeah, I know. We won't get fooled again. You know, we're talking about reason and God's law, and I kind of want to finish that paragraph on that. The thing is, I believe, whether you believe in God or not, mm-hmm. is the Ten Commandments as a guideline a great place for society to start. I believe that not killing, not stealing. What I believe is that if you're religious, I respect that. I'm not saying that's necessarily even the issue. The issue is that a great guideline for whatever reason?
Well, you're going to have
society.
A good foundation.
Right.
You know, you gotta have morals
but that's not on the other side of the equation. And I believe that the founding fathers had been through this other type of system and had read the history books and understood what totalitarian regimes were about. And they were trying to be free and they were extremely bright and intelligent and brilliant guys. Mm-hmm. And they came up with a system to free everybody. And that's the first time in the history of the world. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now we're going to throw it off to the side and not teach it. I'm saying, okay, if you want to teach Marxism, fine. If you want, but don't just teach Marxism.
Right. Teach both sides.
Teach the alternative to it because there's some problems with capitalism.
Right.
There's no question about it.
That's what people need to understand is that when you go into any type of discussion or any lecture, you need to understand that there are flaws with any philosophy.
Yep.
Right? I mean,
The world's not perfect.
Exactly. And that's the thing is that, you know, people aren't understanding is that you go into these places and you're allowing people to just totally influence you, totally just spew information at you, and you're just accepting it without criticizing it. And that's troubling to me.
Well, and the thing is that what I look at is the two systems. Number one, morality needs to play in a part in the system no matter what. Is it okay to steal someone else's labor? That's what you come down to, and that's the separation between Marxism and capitalism. Marxism says it's okay to take labor and the product of the labor from somebody else, and a free society says no. I can give it to you, that's charity, but if forced charity is extortion. And that's really what it comes down to. Marx said if you could sum up everything in his whole philosophy, it'd come down to one sentence: the abolition of private property. Mm-hmm. And that is the key, because if I don't have the ability to own private property, then I have lost all incentive to work hard. Hmm. And that is the bottom truth that they don't talk about, because if I go out and I think of how to make a car engine, and this is why the feudal system was the feudal system for, you know, eons, because you could be a really smart guy, okay, you're down in the blacksmith shop and you come up with some new invention that, you know, that makes horses' carriages run smoother and everybody's transportation is good. Well, the king just comes in and says, that's mine.
Right.
Well, that's the same thing as the government coming in and saying, oh, all that stuff you worked for, you capitalist pig, give that to me and I'm going to hand it to somebody else because they're poor, they're hungry, and they deserve it. As opposed to, no, you know, you keep the benefit of your labor, and the more you work and more you produce, the better, the more services that go out into the community, the better everybody's life becomes over time, as opposed to the incentive not to work, right, and production gets stifled, and pretty soon everybody's life is worse. There's still some issues on both sides, but which system is better and which system is more free, I think, is the question.
Right, and I think it's the same thing, but I think that Marx, I think his criticism basically pertain to who owned surplus value, right?
Right.
Where, like, who did it come from? And Marx's answer to that, I think, is that it came from the worker. Now, that is, in fact, an arbitrary choice on Marx's part. You know, like, he couldn't go back into history and say, it point to exactly who built the machines or who right. built these different things to create this type of value.
Right.
He couldn't say that the capitalist did it. He said that the workers did it, but what I'm saying is that he couldn't point to either way, either one of them, because no matter what the situation is that he would have, you know, participated in infinite regress.
Well,
and that's not a,
it goes back to the workers. It goes back to the workers being exploited. Mm-hmm. But what you're saying is the workers are being exploited throughout history under a central government. So let's get a bigger central government, and they won't be exploited this time.
No. It's just the idea that they're just trying to. He's trying to locate who's created this value,
right?
And if
that's what I'm saying,
if you could say to this to a particular individual, the worker has done it, then what you need to do is take back these machines and take back all these everything that the capitalist holds. Take them back from him, and let's give it to the worker. And or in this case, you know, you have new Marxists and new socialists and communists coming out and saying,
that,
well, it's better for the government to control the means.
That would be true if you were working under a king. Mm-hmm. But that's not true if you're a free man working for yourself.
Yeah.
Because then who are you taking it from? You're taking it from a free man who's produced and saying that this other guy produced it. I can see it if you're all under the king. That's the whole point. Free everybody. Let's move on.
Well, remember, I was talking about behavioral economics in this new field that's emerging. But what they're saying is that there is really no such thing as a free market economy, right? Because we are the choices in which we're making, we're not making them freely, right? We're being manipulated into making them. So the things that are taking place right now is that if I can convince you that you're being manipulated, then
right.
the question is that what the owner owns, is it really his? He may have manipulated someone to get that.
See, that's,
and that's the, and that's why I say the people aren't understanding. We need more conservative minded people
right.
inside the institutions that allows them and allows other individuals like myself to level criticisms and for students like myself
right.
to not feel like, wait a minute, like, well, am I capable of leveling these criticisms?
See, with that example, terrible. It's like two guys out on an island. Mm-hmm. And one guy goes out into the woods and starts working and finding food and figuring out a way to catch a pig. And so he comes back with all this food. That's saying that he's not free, he's being manipulated. Mm-hmm. No, what it is there are certain natural forces that are driving him, like hunger, shelter, food, clothing. So if he is more industrious about providing those things for himself, then he's being, you know, manipulated by the person who's sitting there doing nothing, and so he's not free. But that's the argument.
Yeah, it's, and again, if you're looking at the situation and you recognize that these people are coming in and they're leveling criticisms against the capitalistic structure, right. We have to have young individuals who are being trained to fight back.
Right, and exactly.
Right.
I agree.
I was going to say, back in the classroom setting, I mean, how many people just go along with the program in your exactly. class? It's got to be difficult to be sitting there and not getting the other side when you know the other side, and the other ones are just going helplessly along.
Right.
And seeing what the effect is.
What's right. bad is we're running out of time, Dwayne.
Oh. Well, I enjoyed my time here.
Absolutely. I love you, Dwayne, yeah. And we need to have you back some more. We got about a minute left. And, so I have to end with my quote. Government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. George Washington. We got to have you back, Dwayne. It's been great.
Yeah, it's been great having you in.
Yes. Oh, thank you so much.
You bet. And I guess this is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State, and we'll see y'all next week.
We never have enough time.
All right, thank you, Mark and Linda. This is KCNR Shasta Redding.
Fox News Radio, I'm Hank Weinblum. The city of San Francisco is threatened by a wildfire, even though the fire is 150 miles away. It could knock out the city's electricity, and so the governor's declared a state of emergency.
San Francisco gets about 85% of its water from the Hetch Hetchy Reserve. It's a dam that was built back in 1934, and now big concerns. So they've declared a state of emergency. This allows them to free up some funds, to get some funds where they can buy some energy and water, maybe on the open market there, but very concerning for them.
Fox's Rick Reichmuth, the wildfire continues to burn and grow in and around Yosemite National Park. President Obama is believed to be meeting right now, according to the Associated Press, with his national security team to deal with the suspected use of chemical weapons by Syria. Already, U.S. warships have moved a little closer to Syria. And it's been a deadly day in Beirut, Lebanon, after a double car bombing killed at least 47 people. Hundreds more were injured. One suspect is in